All right, there we go.
Okay. I guess it's working.
You ready to do this? You ready to do this?
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let everybody know right now on the social media.
Yeah, you do that.
Yeah, I am.
Look at all these notes.
They can't see that shit.
Ah, there you go. Ah! Oh, did you take off the autofocus? Oh, that's the other software. The other,
yeah.
Ah, crap.
So don't do anything stupid.
We're already a minute in. I mean, I have to meet my quota.
Okay.
We're ready. We're almost there.
It's not posted to Twitter, but fuck it, we never do that anyway. So,
what the hell is that?
Exactly.
That little bird thingy?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. You ready?
You ready?
Let's go. I'm ready.
All right.
Welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind.
Oh, that show. No, this ain't that show.
No, not yet.
No, not yet.
We'll do that later.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah.
HWR Dark Match.
Number four.
Yeah. And what is a dark match, you say? Oh, well, the dark match is where we do a live post-show
review,
yes,
analysis,
of certain shows. We've done one, the last one we did was Wrestle Kingdom 11.
Ah.
We've done some on, we did one on Survivor Series and TakeOver. So WWE just did their inaugural tournament for the brand new United Kingdom Championship. So.
Whew. That's a lot to take in.
New division, new show.
Disclaimer.
Yeah.
I was tired, not feeling well, drinking a lot. And
that's really a disclaimer. We already know
yeah,
that.
And yeah. Texans were playing. So I took in everything today. Like I saw the first 2 hours this morning while I was at IHOP. And then I got here and I watched the last 2.5 hours with you. So it felt like a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you watch all the first night yesterday?
Yeah. Well, stupid me. They kept saying that it was 3 o'clock our time, whatever. I didn't think when they were saying 3 o'clock, it's actually 2 o'clock central. So I missed the first hour. So this morning I, you know, flipped it back on and had to catch up on that one. But nonetheless, we are here. We watched the whole thing. We have a brand new United Kingdom champion. His name is Tyler Bate.
Who?
Tyler Bate.
That's the thing that you're supposed to do when you're by yourself.
Ask Abel? I don't know.
If anybody knows.
Yes.
Yeah. But before we break down the main event, we need to tell the people how we got there. So night one was the first round. 8 matches. In a nutshell, is there anything that stood out to you in that first night?
Well, yeah, I didn't want to go into detail in regards to the matches from the first night because, quite frankly, I think you agree with me, too. I think the matches that we just saw on night two – much better than the first match. All I want to say is the overall impressions of the first night was the presentation of it. I mean, they had a nice, of course, WWE, so the production value is going to be top notch. The little video package of their history of you know, British wrestlers, you going in the UK and everything, and it was nicely done. The venue that they're at, the Emperor's Ballroom. I liked it.
Pretty.
It looked really good. I liked the setup for it. It reminded me a lot of the old school Raw setup from
Hammerstein.
Hammerstein Ballroom. Just the balconies, I think, is what kind of did it in the setting, the kind of red lighting and the gold and everything. So, yeah, it looked really neat. Just overall, everything. The belt looks good. I like the fact they brought in a British ring announcer for all the matches. I thought that, you know, is something that they should be doing all the time when they go to other countries. Like when they do like special events, like in Japan and things like that, you know, they should cultivate to that climate that they're in, you know, and give something back to the fans. And the commentating team, we have the debut of Nigel McGuinness on commentary with Michael Cole.
That was beautiful.
It was a very nice team up between them two. I've said it before in the past, I'll say it again, as much crap as we've given Cole, like, shut up, Cole. You know, as much, He is a good commentator
when he doesn't have to shill.
Exactly. When he's not doing a 3-hour commercial for the app or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Dude, he can go, you know, and he does his research. He does everything that he needs to do to prepare. And I think he didn't overstep Nigel. They complimented each other very well, I thought. I could be wrong, but that's just, you know, I didn't have any problems with them.
I'm going to give you a negative after all those positives that you just gave out. I need a Spotify playlist of all those fucking songs that that crowd was playing, because that at times took me out of a lot of night one, of the first night. Yeah. You know, it's one thing if you're going to chant for wrestlers that are in the ring, but when you're going to start going in for yourself, especially night two when Finn was in the – tonight when Finn was in the ring and the mm-hmm. fans were literally chanting, we deserve this. Like, shut the fuck up. Like,
I was actually kind of surprised because I know in the first night they're you know, it's the British crowd. They do that. They mm-hmm. sing and have a good time and everything, which is fine. But I'm known in the past, like, that always got on my nerves, you know, and I was kind of surprised. It didn't really bug me the first night. Mm-hmm. Maybe because I was expecting it. I was used to it. But then the second night, because there's more matches. Well, not really more matches, but there's more on the line on the second night. Mm-hmm. And just it kept up and up, and then they kept singing and singing. And it was like, oh, okay. Like, it started to finally get on my nerves. I think, yeah.
I remembered halfway through watching today's matches. It's like, man, it reminded me, shit. As much crap as I give for Full Sail, for those NXT crowd, that NXT crowd at Full Sail, imagine watching a weekly show from the United Kingdom with those kind of fans singing for the like 45 minutes out of the hour. That's gonna like,
well, we may not need to imagine it much longer.
Yeah, because eventually it's gonna happen.
Yeah. But that aside, I mean, we now have, in my mind, if they go off what we just saw for this new show that they're doing exclusively on the network, just exclusively in the UK, it's filmed in the UK, it's being produced in the UK. If this is their roster that they're using, which I can only imagine that they are, since that's kind of what they do with the cruiserweights, mm-hmm. And that's the only basis I have to go off on this. They did a good job of setting up the division. They even got the ball rolling on some storylines, mm-hmm. you know, especially with Pete Dunne. Let's talk about that guy for a second. we'll get to the champ here in a second, but Pete Dunne, he's one of Austin's purposes. He is the number one heel in this promotion right now.
He doesn't know how to smile, apparently.
Yeah. but what do you think of Pete Dunne? Overall impressions of him.
Overall, it took the second night for me to actually get invested and actually hate the guy. By the end of this show, I was fucking hating the guy.
Yeah.
The first night, in a nutshell, a lot of these wrestlers, it took a while for me to get into it.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, for example, the first match, Dyer showing in the little vignette that he's a boxer and he throws punches. Mm-hmm. He threw one punch and that they sold that was the one hitter quitter. Like Michael Tarver in NXT, like you can see when he had somebody in the corner, he was like
right.
punching yeah. them he and going through it. Yeah. It didn't the promo wrestler did not suit the wrestler that I saw in the ring.
And I promise there'll be a last mention of Michael Tarver on the show.
Yeah. To counter that, one of the matches I fell in love with in the first night was Tyson T-Bone against Wolfgang. Those were the two best characters that were in this tournament. You have the biker guy that part-time's at the pub mm-hmm. that likes to bar fight, and he's gonna invite everybody to his house to party when he wins the title.
Yeah.
And then you got Tyson T-Bone, who's like a straight up Euro mafia. Like he's like goon number two in every Jason Statham movie that he's in the United yeah, Kingdom. You know, and the belt, like they shook hands, and as soon as they shook hands, he took advantage of it, just headbutt the guy.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, these are two characters that the WWE universe would love on their television somehow, some way.
Right. Yeah.
And that was the imbalance of what you saw on the promo vids as mm-hmm. opposed to what you end up seeing in the ring. Another example was Sam Gladwell. Sam Gladwell. He had that promo video like he was interviewed on Unsolved Mysteries or something. Like he's ready to hurt people. Like he was stoic and stone faced. Mm-hmm. He goes out in the ring and he's loose and limber and he's sliding in the ring. It's like, oh my God, I swear. The first thing I thought of was Mojo Rawley.
Really?
And it kind of, I was like, no, I don't want to think about that guy when I see Rock and Gladwell, because it just, I don't know, it just, it threw me off. He won me over later.
Yeah.
But first, you know, the first night was all about first impressions.
Right.
And there were a lot more strikes than there were hits as far as first impressions.
More strikes for, than hits, right?
Yeah.
Hmm, interesting. I agree with you in the fact that that's why I didn't want to spend too much time on the first night, mm-hmm. just because of, or as far as the matches go. But yeah, like you said, it's all about impressions. And because this is the first time for majority of people, it's the first time we've seen them. Unless you did your due diligence and research and went on YouTube and all this other stuff, but we didn't do that.
We probably have two matches of TNA on our belt, which is how we only knew about Mandrews. Other than that, we don't know shit about shit.
Yeah.
As far as this tournament.
We're professionals.
Yeah.
Huh. But yeah, it's I don't know if I would say more negatives and positives, or you know, it was just more of an introduction for me. Mm-hmm. It was, I knew it was going to be tonight, today, night two, that was going to be the defining what I took away from it. Mm-hmm. Sam Gladwell.
Yeah, Gladwell.
He had, yeah, his match that was going to be for night two was going to be him versus Dunn, and. That the end of that first show was the big setup. You know, Dunn went over there, clocked him in the face,
threw him around a few times. Yeah. Suplex. Oh man, yeah, he was earning some heat.
Yeah,
that's when I started to give a shit about Dunn.
And that's when I thought, okay, WWE's got plans for this guy. If they're making him the last guy that's going to get the word in something, and that's because when something like that happens, you're going to remember a name like that. You're going to remember what happened. You know, the last thing you see.
When you have William Regal's attention and Triple H's attention when they're doing a Facebook video live after the event of night one,
yeah.
you're solidified. You're going to be there for a while.
Yeah.
You're all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going back to Dunn for a second. Yeah. The first night, I missed the promo vignette thing for him. So I just watched the match. Mm-hmm. Today is when I was able to go back and I saw the little vignette that they put together for him before mm-hmm. the match started. And that's kind of when it started piecing together for me who this character is. They were talking about, you know, Dave Taylor and Fit Finley and all this other, and how he trained and this and that. And I was like, you know what? I can see that. And I can see it. And he had a definite, like, old school feel to him. And just the way he wrestled reminded me of all those guys, Finley and Dave mm-hmm. Taylor, Regal. A lot of Regal and even Daniel Bryan, because Daniel Bryan learned off of Regal. So I think Nigel even said that his color of tights was in honor of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. So. It's one thing to actually like let your imagination lead you to that result,
right.
as opposed to Jordan Devlin. Night two, I was like, holy crap, it's great value brand Finn Balor.
Yeah, I was not impressed with him.
It was too much. It was too much overload of, oh my God, this is Finn's guy, so we all have to pay attention
to
him.
Not even that. Not only that. First night of Devlin, before his match came out, they showed Finn Balor in the audience. Mm-hmm. And that's when they mentioned that he was trained, you know, he trained this guy, Devlin. He comes out, and if you didn't tell me anything about Finn Balor, like being involved in this, I would assume that he's like a mark for Finn Balor. He came out with a jacket and the pose and everything and got the facial hair and the hair. You know, it was like, really, dude? And I don't know. To me, I just wasn't that impressed with him.
In night one, I wasn't. Night two, you can tell that he had some of the fans' animosity at him. And it worked well against the person he was wrestling with. Mm-hmm. But still, like,
and plus his match the first night, who was that botched finish thing, against the dude from NXT, Birch?
Yeah, Danny Birch.
He kicked him in the back of the head. He got it busted open, and it was a weird, awkward finish. I don't know.
The ref didn't catch the other shoulder come up in time, and they left it as is.
Yeah.
But that's another like secondary in the back of your mind. Once the show starts going,
yeah.
Danny Birch is gonna have a claim to. You know, I could have gotten this far if the ref hadn't fucked it up, basically.
Yeah. So. And that's more storyline telling that they could mm-hmm. interweave into the show that they do.
Side note: I'd seen Danny Birch a couple of times, not job out, but he hadn't won squat. He's basically an enhancement talent for Ciampa, Gargano, guys to get over on NXT. He looked like a million bucks in that ring in the first round. I liked him against Devlin. Like, a lot of his personality came out. The crowd was with him. He looked like a person that belonged there. In NXT, he didn't look like a person that belonged there to me compared to this.
It was a mixed match with him and Devlin, I thought. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing more of Birch in there, but I wouldn't say he looked like a million bucks. $8, but that's just me.
Compared to cans on NXT, basically.
Yeah. Nickels and dimes.
All right, man. Mustache Mountain. First impression of Trent?
Seven. let's have a few between him and Ty Dillinger. 7, 10. They'll be going back.
The Math and Magicians match.
Yeah. They'll whatever. It's I can dig it. Like he's got a gimmick he's over. He's got a gimmick that works.
He looked comfortable in there with his gimmick.
He didn't look nervous or anything.
It looked like that was, you know, the old saying, when you turn somebody up to 11 of who they are, that's the best of what you're going to get out of an entertainer. And that felt like that was himself at home cranked to 11 to the point that I want to see more of him.
Yeah.
I want a Mustache Mountain shirt like half the people in the crowd had the first night.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in. So.
Mustache Mountain, huh?
Yeah. I trim, but, you know, I can grow it if I want to. Mexican privilege.
Yes.
That was a lot of this, by the way. He wasn't the only guy twirling the mustache. Our champion.
Our champ. Let's talk Tyler about the champ Bate. For a sec. Tyler Bate. Not Bates. Bate. When I was looking at the promo for him, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm digging this guy. He's got the, you know, the old brawler type, you know,
gimmick. Fisticuffs.
Yeah, that guy. But then he started talking, and he's like, you know, I'm only 19. And I was like, are you 19? This guy does not look like he's 19 years old. In retrospect, looking at his face, yeah, he does have – if he didn't have the mustache, he would have a baby face, I think. Mm-hmm. But he's built for a 19-year-old dude. Yeah. He's entertaining. I'm going to have Sledgehammer stuck in my head for the next 2 nights. I got a feeling.
I actually heard that in the corner store before I came here when I bought snacks to get over here. So it was kind of odd that you told me, yeah, they remixed Sledgehammer. That's his theme song. I was like – didn't I just hear that a few minutes ago? I was like, what the fuck?
But Tyler Bate, he comes out and I'm liking what I'm seeing. He's very charismatic. He's got unique moves to his character. And then it hit me. I've already seen this before. This is Gallagher. On 205 Live.
205 Live?
Two Alive in attendance. I just don't know if it's I mean, it works for Gallagher and it's gonna work. Obviously it's gonna work for Bate because he's a champ. He won the whole thing. Which I don't have a problem with that. I like the character from what I saw, especially night two. He's got a lot of charisma, he's got a good character in there, and him winning title, that's gonna be good for the division as being the face for that. My little caveat on this, my little nitpick, is the whole shoulder injury.
Let's get into that. The main event match, the championship round between Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate.
Yeah.
Go for it.
I just said it. I don't have a problem with him winning the title. My issue is the severity of the emphasis they put on that shoulder injury. Basically, like, he barely got a clearance from the doctor to wrestle. And then, like, halfway in the match, he's doing this and that, cartwheeling and everything. And
Nigel calling out on commentary is like, hey, he's giving out a lot of weight, a lot of strength doing that cartwheel. I don't know if he should be doing that. Yeah. Sometimes McGinnis's commentary was too spot on.
Yeah.
And
it's calling him out.
It showed in the match. There was one point where he had a triangle choke on him, and he deadlifted him up and powerbombed him with that bad shoulder. And to be honest, that took me out of the rest of the match. Because even afterward, Pete Dunne was had like this 3 minute long Kimura lock, and he even had his leg over the kid's head. And I was like, if the dude just powered out with the shoulder, it shows the shoulder's fine. Yeah. Like, do something else, or just end it already. Because I'm already like, it literally
it went on a little bit too long.
Once the hymen was bleeding, it's over. Oh. Like, they should have just finished it. Because I was gone after that. I was right back on my phone after that. Like, I wasn't as invested as I was before when they were – because they did such a good job of telling this story. Pete Dunne got in there right when Bate won the semifinal match and went right at it, fucked up this kid's shoulder.
Yeah.
And he looked like a deer in headlights, like, dude, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
And they milked it for so long, and they did such a good job, and Dunne did such a good job of attacking the shoulder after the first few minutes of feeling him out to make sure that he was, like, alive. And then for them to kill it like that, and not and still keep going afterwards, it was like trying to hook me back in after I'd already swam away.
In your mind, the Kimura, or not the Kimura, but the triangle, the picking them up and saying that's kind of like your Super Cena moment for the match. Yeah, I can feel you on that. I just it's clear that they have plans for Young Bate as the champion. My thing is on that is I can already picture. I said this would be really cool if they had Dunn win the title, because they've already placed so many chess pieces around focusing on Dunn, and it would make perfect sense for him to win the title. With the injured Bate, you could have him chase Dunn for the title.
Hell, Bate heals, you can have the next person.
Besides that, you have Regal as authority causing issues for Dunn, because clearly I love that, by the way, at the start of the match, Regal in the ring holding the title, not taking his eyes off of Dunn for a second, dude. I love that. It was subtle, but it worked. Mm-hmm. So you have the authority against trying to stop Dunn. You have Bate trying to stop Dunn. You could bring in Gradwell to avenge or get revenge on what he did to him. There's so many different things you can go just off of one character, much less start bringing these other characters.
I'll give you one more. My match of the entire tournament was the semifinals between Pete Dunne and Mandrews.
Yes.
That was the match out of this entire tournament that everybody got up and he got standing ovation, and it was going back and forth, and you had your heartstrings pulled. You're like, holy crap, he's gonna do it. Holy shit, he kicked. Like, you were into it.
Yeah.
And from the beginning to the end, like, it didn't lose me. There wasn't any faults in that match for me to say, oh man, if they would have done XYZ, like, it was fucking gold.
I'm going to second that. I'm gonna nominate this. If you're gonna be watching this week, on our regular Wednesday episode, we do our match of the weeks on that one. I'm going to say this right now. Is a front runner for match of the week. WWE, you're on your own competition. So you got a lot of work to do on Raw, SmackDown, NXT.
Well, let's clear the air real quick, because we did this during the New Japan Dark Match episode. Mm-hmm. So far, right now, you and I have this as our front running match of the week. Mm-hmm. Would it go any more than that?
You know what? I don't know, man. That's a tough one. I may need to get
it. Right off the bat, I would say no.
Yeah, me too. No.
It was really awesome, but...
But if you had to pick something, like if we had to choose something from this event, it's going to be that match.
Yeah.
But that to say, unless we have a really weak rest of the year.
Even then, no.
Yeah.
It's already got stiff competition. We have two matches for Match of the Year on our list already, and we're not even out of January. Yeah. They're both from Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
And as good as this match was for this tournament in this WWE universe, it's nowhere near either one of those two. I wouldn't put it up there.
No, yeah, I agree. Definite, like I said, unless we get blown away by something else this week, mm-hmm. until Wednesday, this is going to be my match of the week. Definitely match of the night. Match of the tournament.
If somebody, if a fan, a listener, a watcher to our show that has not watched this yet, and they were to ask us, hey, what do I need to watch to get me interested into this division? I would point to this match. Rex Andrews against Pete Dunne.
That may be something with Tyler Bate, because he is a character to watch for this.
In all fairness, the other side of that coin, Bate versus Wolfgang. Wolfgang, in the first night up to that point, up to the semifinals, he had some of the crowd love going, but it was obvious when you put the 19-year-old kid in front of the bar hack, he lost the crowd. Like, he lost the crowd favor, and you can tell during the match that he was starting to call that out to Tyler. And that match was actually pretty fun too. I didn't see that ending coming.
Yeah, it was kind of out of nowhere though. Yeah, I don't think there was a lot of time invested in that match, but mm-hmm. Yeah, there's who else was in there to kind of talk about as far as the
how about the buffer? Did you expect Neville to show up?
No, it makes sense though.
Yeah,
and I like that little promo we did. I thought that made sense too. Like, first you ignore me off the cruiserweights, and now you ignore me off the UK title. No, I want my crown, damn it.
Yeah. First impression of Tommy End.
This is my first impression, because I've heard the name and I've seen pictures of him once he was signed with WWE. I like the gimmick. I like the look. I like his music. I like the package. Match-wise, I just, something about it, I just couldn't get into it too much. I don't know.
Was it because he was the babyface, that hero, anti-hero that was like towering over the heel Neville? Is that part of why you couldn't get into it, or was there something else?
I don't know. I just, maybe because I just don't know the guy.
You need more?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
And plus, like, isn't he supposed to be on NXT or something?
Aleister Black, apparently, is his name in NXT. Really? I don't know if he's debuted on NXT yet. I read the spoilers like 3 weeks ago and I already forgot, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we'll get there when we get there.
But yeah.
What other we kind of touched on a little bit, but Mark Andrews, Mandrews.
Mm-hmm.
They
announced he had popularity in the United States. They didn't say where, but they did mention the fact.
It's funny. There's a reason why it's funny, like, because we talked about this on the last episode, the weekly episode. I watched Impact last week, and he was on there in a tag team match. So that was kind of like, I haven't been watching Impact for a long time, and so that was my first exposure to him. I've heard the name Andrews, but that was the first time I saw him was last week. And now I see him this week, new look, haircut, short hair. You know, it's like
high five and a stage diving.
Yeah, you could tell like TNA would never have given him the new RVD. Yeah, I guess I didn't even think about that like that. Yeah. But yeah, but I could just see him being himself.
Yeah,
I guess he's a music guy because there's a lot.
Actually, his band was the theme music that they used for his entrance.
Oh,
yep, apparently the announcers were saying that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Okay, I missed that part. But
the whole package fit. I liked him. I was scratching my head like, holy shit! I'm cheering for the TNA guy. Yeah. So, but
it works though.
It worked. Yeah.
I think that was WWE's reward to him for putting up with that shit. I can see that. You paid your dues, kid.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're out on parole, kid. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. So
overall, thumbs up, thumbs down.
For the whole show or
for what? The tournament? Everything.
Tournament, thumbs up, man.
Yeah.
If there's anything bad to say about it, I mean, it's just gonna be nitpicking stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not gonna be anything that's you know, that's a really bitch about or anything, but
Do you think the right guy won?
It's hard to want to say because in my mind, I had ideas how they could go with it. I like Tyler. I really do. It's just unfortunate. Dude, we didn't talk about that, dude. Pop and bang. I love that. Or is it bop and bang?
Yeah.
I love that. That was funny. and then did a little version of it on the last match he had, mm-hmm. too. Yeah, he's a very unorthodox character, like different moves and everything. And everything that I saw was working for him. I just, again, nitpicking on him, like it's just another version. Like how long before WWE like makes it like he's the cousin of Gallagher or something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, something, it's going to be.
Oh, you said while we were watching the main event, oh, Pete Dunne's actually William Regal's kid.
Yeah. No, because you said watch him turn on him or something. Yeah. Yeah, there's so many different things. I can already see that they're weaving in different things to whatever the show happens to be. But it's got my curiosity. I'll check it out when it first starts.
So it has your curiosity, but it doesn't have your attention.
It's getting there.
It's getting there. Okay.
What about you?
It's got my curiosity also. I mean, the other thing I wanted to talk about was it a disadvantage having this in two nights rather than the Cruiserweight Classic was like 9 weeks where you took it in doses and you're able to take everything in? Because I think not just because my half-assery, I watched all 4.5 hours today, mm-hmm. but even if I just split it in half and watched the two and then the two today, it kind of felt like a lot at once. If I would have had the 8 weeks, some of the people could have grown on me, maybe.
But to what extent? If they're not going to be using all these guys, we don't know if they are or not. You know, why invest all that time in it? You know, and plus, you say that a lot of these guys aren't well known. So having strong vignette packages before their first match, and then a recap of what we saw the second night, I think that was enough for me to establish. Who's who, and I don't need to see, because I think it was on the Cruiserweight Classic, every week we would get the same package or a variation of the package that we saw, and by the end of everything, everybody knew somebody, like somebody has some kind of history with everybody, you know, so I'm kind of glad it was this kind of bam, bam, thank you, ma'am type thing, and it's done,
mm-hmm.
And they can kind of move forward with this. I don't know, behind the scenes, if there's ulterior motives to make it such a short and sweet kind of two-night thing, but hopefully they have plans. I don't know. I don't know if it'd be better to have it as, you know, a show with a champion, or just to do like a UK Cup or something instead, mm-hmm. instead of having a champion. But if they made a champion out of it, I'm sure they got plans. So, so what are your, is there anything else that we need to talk about on this, or?
You know what? I think we covered everything.
Yeah.
I think we covered enough.
You covered enough? Made a point clear?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm curious to see what Abel thinks about this when we sit down on Wednesday and record. I'm hoping he saw this.
We have a listener here. Of course, he's a friend of the show. He usually chimes in on our weekly show.
Hey, that guy.
Yeah, Dragon, yeah. Was it a weak match compared to other WWE matches because of talent or booking? Which match are you referring to? Is the final match? Is that what you're talking about?
I think that was the other issue I had with the final match. If you're wrestling, if that was your third match in that day, I was expecting it to be short. Yeah. You know, so for the 19-year-old.
With an injury.
Yeah, especially with the injury. So for the kid to power out of everything well enough, and like the match lasted, what, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, something around there. I was like, man, this is way too long for people that have already wrestled three times, that have already wrestled twice.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. They got to showcase what they can do and everything, but come on, you got to save that for something later.
Yeah.
If you're going to be coming back to that. But as far as a weak match compared to the other WWE matches because of talent or booking, the talent did everything they could have done. I can't fault really, there wasn't any botches or was anything that I can really.
In that sense of the word, the fans saved it because, for example, 205 Live, that's good talent. But if the fans don't know who you are, you're getting crickets. Like, you're not getting a reaction. And in that audience, they knew damn near every single person that was in that ring. And they made it feel like they were worth watching. So it felt to me like I had invested into this at least, because it felt like to me I was worth watching. Yeah.
The fans did help. And I love the fact that Michael Cole himself called them fans. And not the WWE universe. Mm-hmm. I like it when WWE can go back to their roots on some of this stuff and take away all that crap that we get on Raw, you know, and just you know, strip it away to the bare necessities. We got fans, we have wrestlers, and we have them fighting for a title.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need. And that's what this show was. And that's why I really can't really fault it for a whole lot of what it was. I thought I was gonna say something else too, but I think that's going to be it.
That's it in a nutshell, man.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I don't know. I know we kind of talked about it on our weekly show about, you know, I think you mentioned, you know, they should show up on Royal Rumble or something like that.
At least your big four. I mean, it's one thing that NXT is not there because it's its own brand. It's its own weekly show.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, like, the talent starts trickling in, so you're aware of them. You know, I would like to see, for the casual fans to be aware, hey, by the way, we have a United Kingdom champion. Check them out on the network. This is what they look like. This is what they do. This is why they're different from everything else. You know?
It wouldn't surprise me if they're kept away for right now until we know for sure what they're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might even be till after WrestleMania, because that's – because that's less focused, you know. They don't want to, you know, right now, especially after Royal Rumble, it's all WrestleMania talk. You know, it's all, you got to push everything towards that. So why take time away from that to promote something that's not even out yet?
Yeah.
I think if anything, this UK show, I think it should debut maybe the week of WrestleMania, you know, or maybe the week after, or whatever, around WrestleMania time where everybody's watching.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, or maybe have an exhibition match at WrestleMania, because all the international fans that come through, you're gonna get a reaction on that, or maybe debut on the Raw after WrestleMania. You have potential there for whatever you want to do, either WrestleMania or Raw, because you're gonna have that crowd there who's gonna appreciate
the talent from the UK. Yeah,
but for right now, I'm still under the impression that this is gonna be a separate show, separate entity. If anybody else does show up on the main Raw, it's gonna be maybe to promote whatever show that they're going to be on. But I can't imagine, you know, Tyler Bate walking on every other Raw or something and challenging somebody or whatever the case would be. But they got something. They got something going here, especially with these characters. I wasn't expecting – I don't really know what I was expecting when I was going to watch it. But WWE's production value behind everything. That's another thing. For it being live in another country, the quality on that was really good.
Nice.
The feed was really good on that. But yeah, I think that's going to be it. I'm sure there's a couple of things I could think to say, but that's pretty much it. Unless you got other final words, final thoughts.
No, that's it.
Yeah. So
that's the show.
I'm digging these little tournaments that they're doing on the network. I know later on there's rumors of a women's tournament, maybe another, maybe Japan or something. They're going to do something. So I guess I don't know if WWE's is kind of trying to branch out and, UK, Japan, or wherever you want to go, and maybe be like a
global territories,
like kind of NWA type thing. Mm-hmm. They're your own. You're everywhere pretty much, which I wouldn't have a problem with that. But I mean, they're there anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, so why if you're gonna have a presence there, might as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm talking like they need to be like having like UK headquarters and things like that. Have your own production thing, everything there. So that you don't have to worry about like Steph and Triple H going there every week or something, or whatever the case may be, or certain writers from the show. Hell, take Riggle off the NXT
and throw him over there
and put him on there. I think he did good. And I think that
keep McGinnis over there too.
Oh yeah.
So who would you pair McGinnis with on commentary?
Would you have another UK guy?
Is there another UK guy on the WWE roster?
Hell, I don't know. But they have something there. They have this is like the bare bones of a new division, and you can do is build on it. So.
Sounds good.
I think that's gonna call it a show. If you join us live, thank you for tuning in, listening to us live, and joining us on the live chat. And if you haven't already done so, subscribe to our YouTube channel. And it is now YouTube.com, and it is the Houston Wrestling Radio.
Back to the classics.
Yeah, yeah.
What's old is new again.
Right. So tell your friends to also join us on social media, Facebook.com, Houston Wrestling Radio, Twitter, H Wrestling
Radio. At H Wrestling Radio.
Yeah. Yeah. So
subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on iTunes.
Leave us some comments on the video, even if it's not live chat. If you're watching this later on demand, just leave a comment. Tell us we did good, we suck, whatever. We don't care. Just leave a comment. Because apparently comments are good. We want to see comments for ratings and whatnot. Yeah. So give us a thumbs up too, I guess. That works too. Yeah.
And then the weekly shows on Wednesday, 8 o'clock Central-ish.
We've been doing good the last couple of weeks. That being said, we're probably gonna start at 8:30
this week.
So thanks again for tuning in. Until next time.
Top guys.
Out.
Clink, clink.